Jesus, we thank you for the power that's held in your name. We thank you for the healing that's held in your name. We thank you for salvation that's held in your name and your name alone. Jesus. Jesus. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and have a seat. And those who are being baptized, if you would please join me on the stage right now. Baptism is a public declaration of an inner commitment made to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. Baptism is a physical picture of a spiritual truth. As these people today go under the water, they are sharing in the death of Jesus Christ. And as they are raised up out of the water, they are sharing in his resurrected life. And we believe that it is not merely symbolic, but we believe that there will be a supernatural grace imparted to each of you as you come up out of the water today. Amen? Amen. Okay. They're going to share a little bit of their testimonies once they get in the tank. But before we do that, I have a couple questions for you, okay? Do you believe in God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for your sins, and he rose again on the third day that you may be forgiven of your sins and have everlasting life? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord and want to serve him all the days of your life? Amen. Let's do this. Just so you know, we're not real formal around here, so we encourage lots of hooping and hollering and rejoicing. Like, let's try to rival what's happening in heaven, okay?
Hello, everyone. My name is Morgan Bishop. I was aware of the importance of accepting Jesus as my Savior throughout my childhood. My parents gave me the basis of a solid foundation about becoming aware to the goodness of God and who he was. My maternal grandparents, who played an integral role in my young years, displayed many fruits of the Spirit in how they interacted with others through being completely selfless, humble, and individuals of truth. Therefore, as I progressed into my teenage and college years, I had a basic understanding of God. My own personal experience with God came in my early 20s as I overcame trials. I believe that God utilizes difficult phases in our lives to shape us and strengthen our faith. During these years, I was able to establish a relationship with God and fully accept Jesus as my Savior. Once I established a relationship with God, I'm able to see the goodness of his works daily in my life through events and people I encounter. I want to be baptized today to celebrate the works that God has done within me ever since accepting Jesus as my Savior. I believe getting baptized will display my walk of faith with Jesus Christ, and I want to spread light and encourage others to bring God into their lives.
So Morgan Kesker, Kesker Bishop, I baptize you in the name of the Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Julie McKinney. I am being baptized today because I am a new person. God has changed my mind, heart, and attitude. I believe God had good plans for me. I had open heart surgery when I was a baby. It was my perfect heart day, and that makes me special. I used to have leukemia, but I don't have that anymore. I am healthy and happy because God made me who I am, and now I am doing better. I love my disability because Down syndrome makes me unique in a special way because He made us and He created us. I'm in college and having the best day of life, being with friends and going to Capernaum because God wanted me to have fun in life. I like going to Capernaum because I love spending time with my friends and leaders. I am so blessed to have them in my life. My family is very important to me because they love me, and I know that because God made my family very special. I thank God for everything. I am so blessed to have a close relationship with Him because He's a miracle worker and He created us into the people that we are. I am so grateful to choose a life with Him because He taught me to be kind to others. I am choosing to get baptized today because I want to follow my heart. I love reading my Bible and pray every day. I'm excited to be baptized and share with all of you that I love Jesus and that He's my Lord and Savior.
Julie Catherine McKinney, I baptize you in the name of the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. My name is Jordan Bridges. I want to start with a piece of scripture that throughout my life I have come back to many times. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 11 says, "He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.' For a lot of my life, I've never believed that I was enough, smart enough, pretty enough, strong, or good enough. Although I've had a relationship with Jesus for a long time, and I know the truth He speaks into my life, I still frequently find myself comparing my own experiences to others and feeling that those things make me less than. Today, I choose to loudly embrace my insecurities and my shortcomings. I know that Jesus delights in meeting me in my weaknesses, and both Him and I are stronger because of them. I want to thank my family, my mom and dad, my sister, my friends, for being here today and for always supporting me. And my prayer for each of them and for each of you is that you would also feel and know the same thing."
So Jordan Elizabeth Bridges, I baptize you in the name of the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit.
Could join me right up here on the stage, family, if you can gather around, bigger family, if you can just stand as we pray over them. Let's pray. God, we thank you for these three courageous, powerful women. God, we thank you for their testimony, and we thank you, God, that today is just the beginning. God, I thank you for the good works that you've done in each of their lives, and I thank you, God, for rescuing them, for saving them, for bringing them to yourself. Father, I thank you that they never have to live one day apart from your presence, but that you will forever be their good father, their best friend. God, would you cover them in your love? Would you cover them in your grace? Would you fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Romans says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have newness of life. I'm going to ask you guys a few questions. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for your sins and he rose again on the third day that you may be forgiven of your sins and have everlasting life? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord and want to serve him all the days of your life? Then let's do this. All right, you guys go ahead and head back to the tank. And I just want to give instruction here. We're not the church that waits until the end to applaud. We believe that all of heaven is cheering and shouting and creating quite a party. So I'd like you to do the same. If you could rival heaven, that would be great. So feel free to cheer as they each enter the tank or come up out.
Turn my life over to God and begin to live the life that he has set out for me to live. I have had a rough past and God has saved me from so much. My 10-year-old son's favorite person is God, and he has been so inspiring to me. And as I watch my son grow up loving God and how happy he is, it makes me want to start a new life with Jesus Christ as my Savior and live happy knowing I have God in my life now.
So Katie Marie Baker, I baptize you in the name of the Father, his Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, guys. I'm Buddy. I'm excited to be here today as I take this important step of baptism. My journey has been filled with ups and downs, but through it all, I have found strength and hope in my faith. This moment signifies my commitment to follow Christ and embrace my new life as he offers. Thank you all for supporting me as I declare my faith today.
So, Buddy Baker, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit.
My name's Christian. I was blessed to grow up in a faith-based household, but it wasn't until I attended a Young Life camp up in New York in 2022 that I truly encountered Christ. Our speaker was named Tim Toy, and he shared an analogy with an apple wrapped with tinfoil. The apple itself represented our true hearts and faith, while the tinfoil symbolized distractions and false appearances we used to cover up and what's inside. 1 Samuel 16:7 tells us, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." After hearing this, I realized I had been focusing more on the outward appearance than focusing on Christ. That moment marked the beginning of my journey. Since then, my walk with God has had its ups and downs, but He has blessed me with countless ways, and He has surrounded me with a family that encouraged me to grow, friends who uplift me, and a community that keeps me grounded in my faith. Through every challenge, I can see how God has been shaping me from the inside. One person who has had a huge impact in my faith is my dad. He's always been someone I've looked up to, not because of his words, but by the way he lives out his faith every day. His example has encouraged me to stay grounded in Christ and to strive to become the man God is calling me to be.
Cristian Mosías Correa, yo te bautizo en nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.
I grew up in a loving Christian home and have been going to church my whole life, but I never really cared about faith. As I got older, I began to seek validation from my friends. The validation meant that I was seen and that I mattered. My friends soon became my identity. The closer we got to college, the more distant my friends and I got. I felt lost, confused, and like I had no direction. Once I got to college, I began to go out and drink every weekend. I soon realized I was losing myself, but I felt like this was my only way of being seen. I finally decided to step away from the unhealthy friendships and find a godly community. I can tell you now, that was the best decision I ever made. Not only did I find people who made me feel seen, but they introduced me to what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus. I've learned that a relationship with Jesus is not always an uphill, but an uphill roller coaster. I've learned what it means to be a child of God and what it feels like to be truly and eternally loved. I hope people know that there is a Father who loves you and sees you. I want to thank my family, and specifically my brother, for not only being patient, but showing you what love is through Jesus. Today I've decided to give my life to the Lord. Not only has He shown me what grace and mercy are, but He showed me what true love is. And for that, this is my gift to Jesus. This is my thank you.
Kenzie Yaslin Correa, yo te bautizo en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.
All right, if we can get those who are just baptized to join me over here on the right-hand side of the stage so we can pray for you. All the rest of you, I'm going to ask two things. Could you stand in agreement as we pray? And could you squeeze in? We have got a host of people standing in the back. So if you can squeeze together, no end tables. Your purse doesn't get a chair today. Stick it underneath your seat. Thank you. Yeah. I know there, well, I don't know. All right. So, Hensi, Christian, Katie, and Buddy. So good. God, we thank you for new life. God, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made on our behalf. Thank you, God, for showing us what love looks like. Thank you for giving yourself, for dying on our behalf. And God, I ask right now that these four would experience the newness of life that you've promised in Scripture. God, I pray new freedom, new joy, new hope, new peace. God, would you fill them with your Holy Spirit? Would you empower them with your love? God, would you mark them this day as yours? In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
All right, good morning. You know it's a good time when you can't get people to quiet down. It's just good. It's good. What a morning already. We have this morning the privilege of ordaining two members of our staff into pastoral ministry, two people you know and trust, two women that have served you well for over a decade each already. Sarah Blackwell will be ordained into the role of worship pastor, and Rebecca Marafino will be ordained into the role of next generation, or I like to call it next gen pastor. That's right. Both of these women have been serving as a part of Grace since they were children, attending and serving since they were children. Both have been on staff for a long time. Rebecca since 2015 and Sarah since 2012. They've served effectively as pastors without the titles. They've been tested and proven faithful. In August, they completed a robust 8-month ordination process that was overseen by our network of churches called One Focus Network. And we are here today to formally recognize their calling as pastors and to ordain them for work. So, yeah. I like to say we're setting them apart like Paul and Barnabas were set apart, only you don't get to go to Greece. You have to stay here. Please stay here. So we're going to do a couple things in the time we have remaining today. We're going to review briefly the role of pastor, which comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're going to take Rebecca and Sarah through a pretty formal, it's probably one of the most formal things we do, ordination ceremony, which you will get to be witnesses for, and we're going to pray for them. Pastoral ministry is one of five key ministries that Jesus gave the church for her growth and development. It's one of the five offices he gave us for the purpose of building up and unifying the church. And we see this in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. Paul writes, as a prisoner for the Lord, it wasn't like he did something wrong. He was in prison for doing right. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's very comprehensive. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it, distributed it. This is why it says when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. He's quoting Psalms. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, whole, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds or pastors, and teachers. In a sense, we are all to function in all of these in some capacity. We're all called to be apostles in some sense because we've all been sent as messengers. That's the definition of apostle. We're all called to be prophets because we can all hear from God and speak to others on behalf of God, as the prophet Joel, the apostle Paul, and Jesus himself all said. We're all called to be evangelists because we're all expected to share the good news with others. And we're all called to be teachers and pastors in some extent because we're all surrounded by at least a few people we can teach something and care for in some way. So on one level, all of us are called to be all of these because we all, if you're a Christian, we all carry the great, the ultimate apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher within us. It's not really us doing these things in the fullness of the extent. Anyway, it's Christ in us. Some people, however, at no choice of their own, really, God calls or sets apart to serve in one of these as their primary area of service of life, as their vocation. And this is what we're referring to today when we refer to these five offices of leadership within the church. I'm going to go through them briefly in that regard. God gave the church apostles. From the original 12, disciples, to Paul and Barnabas, to Andronicus and Junia, a man and woman defined by Paul as outstanding among the apostles in Romans 16. He gave the church prophets, Agabus and Silas, Barnabas, and the daughters of Philip, all listed as prophets, the last ones in Acts 21. He gave the church evangelists from the original four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who wrote the Gospels, to the woman from Sychar, we call her the Samaritan woman, who led her town to Jesus, or Mary Magdalene, the first person to see, hear, and touch the resurrected Jesus, and then what? The first person to tell the world of that resurrection. He gave the church teachers from Paul and Peter to Priscilla and her husband Aquila and Phoebe, a deacon who brought Paul's letter from Rome and then would have taught with that letter wherever she went, beginning in her own church in Cenchrea. And he gave the church pastors set apart to call to care for the well-being of God's people, people like James, Timothy, or again, Priscilla and Aquila, who hosted a church, pastored a church that met in their home. We see that in 1 Corinthians. So each of these five roles or offices were held by both men and women in the New Testament churches. The purpose, the power, and the vision for each of these ministries is one in the same. The purpose for ministry, for pastoral ministry, is to equip the people of God for works of service, to help every one of you do your part. So when we are constantly trying to get all of you to engage, we're doing our job. So that the body of Christ might be built up. So that the body of Christ might become a home. That's really what the word means here. A dwelling place for God. So that the body of Christ could become a dwelling place for God's presence and God's people. That's the real purpose of ministry. The power for ministry, and Rebecca and Sarah, I especially want you to hear this one, is the grace of Jesus. Grace is the unmerited favor. You didn't do anything to ask for this or deserve it. It was just given to you. Ephesians 4:7 says, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Grace is a gift that only Jesus can give, and he gives it to empower us to do what we would never be able to do on our own, especially with, as Paul says, humility, gentleness, patience, and love, which we're very short on our own, very short. But because Christ has called you to this, because he has gifted you for this, you operate out of his gifting, his empowerment, not your own. So all of us have received a certain measure of Christ's gifting for these different tasks, you could say, and we are setting Sarah and Rebecca apart today to use this gifting full-time, vocationally. So there's the purpose in it, there's the power in it, and there is the vision for ministry. The vision for ministry is to see people become, you could say, full of Jesus. It's to equip people, to build up people for a specific vision. And that vision is people all reaching unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and becoming mature, whole, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, up to the full and complete standard. I mean, that vision is so grand. Every one of us living where our lives perfectly mirror Christ, that vision is so big, we're not ever going to get there until we go to heaven. But we are increasingly inspired by that. That's what we are driven by, to see people understand and experience and be empowered by Christ more and more and more and more every day. So, Rebecca and Sarah, I want to charge the two of you to keep these three in front of you, in your mind and in your heart as pastors. We've already seen them in you. That's why we're doing this thing today. But more than ever before, keep these things in front of you. The purpose of your ministry is to build up the church of Jesus Christ. The power for your ministry is the grace of Jesus Christ. And the vision for your ministry is a gathering of people ever more whole and complete and full of Jesus, living the lives they were created for that you will not find in any other way. So at this point, I'd like to invite Rebecca, Sarah, their spouses, children, parents if you'd like, elders and spouses, pastors of Grace Covenant, and a member of our church network executive leadership team to the stage. I'm not going to introduce them all. It would take forever. Would you give them a big round of applause? At Grace, we ordain people for two specific ministry roles, and that is of pastor and elder. The elders are primarily responsible for the spiritual health and overall well-being of our church. The elders are a volunteer group. They're mostly a volunteer group, keeping us on track with the bigger picture. And the pastors submit to the elders. I submit to the elders for the overall care and operation of the church. Our ordination process for elders and pastors is somewhat different. Sarah and Rebecca have been through a very thorough ordination process that began last year in its beginning as our elders team, pastors team, and our network, One Focus Network, prayed for a long time to get us to this point. It's been a long and thorough process, but I believe it's been a great blessing to me. I hope it's been to you guys, and you will all benefit from it. I'm going to do a little introduction for each of these ladies. Do we have a mic when we're ready? So, first of all, Sarah. Sarah was born in Richmond, Virginia, spent part of her childhood in New Hampshire, and later returned to the Valley here. Sarah and her family have been a part of Grace since almost the beginning in 1989. She says Grace Covenant has watched her grow up. Sarah has an undergraduate degree in psychology from JMU and a master's of music from Liberty University. Sarah and her husband Nathan have been friends for 35 years. That's like way back. And married for 21 years. Together they have four incredible children. Raise your hands. Allie, married to Joe. William, Juliana, Luke, three dogs and a cat. Sarah does a fantastic job of overseeing the entirety of our Sunday morning experience, not just the singing part. And she continues to serve faithfully in this role and is one of those people that just keeps reaching out and has the capacity to take other areas as well. Sarah's known for her passion for worship. She's always singing, if you know her. Her wholehearted pursuit of God and remarkable gifts in music, leadership, and discerning the Holy Spirit's guidance. She also loves to laugh and does that a lot and brings joy to all kinds of difficult situations too. Above all, Sarah cares deeply about this church and each of you. All right, Sarah, take it away, whatever you would like to say at this point.
Wow, my mouth is so dry.
What did I say?
I don't know why it's so dry. I just wanted to say, Rebecca and I, we grew up here in this church, and when I was thinking about what to share, I was just thinking about this house of worship and how it's seen me stumble and fall and run and walk and all the stages in between of my life, and how it was in this house that I learned how to surrender, and I learned how to love, and I learned how to trust, and I learned who God was. And I just wanted to say, I think Grace Cove is a real unique house of worship where we can actually find the grace of God and feel safe enough to be able to look at ourselves so that we can heal, because I know that was my journey in this place. And so I just wanted to say, I'm so honored to be a leader here, and more so, gosh, I'm just privileged to be able to run this race of life with each one of you in this room, because it's a race, and then, I mean, we are going.
Yeah, very good. Very good. All right. Thanks, Sarah. And now, yeah. Okay, Rebecca is married to John, who she first met around the age of one in a playpen. Together, they love and adore their many nieces, nephews, godchildren, and their spoiled black cat. Rebecca was born and raised on a farm just north of Harrisonburg. Her earliest memory is crawling across a bouncing floor in the midst of a joyful Grace Covenant worship service. Growing up at Grace fostered a deep connection that nothing is better than life with God. As the next gen pastor, she is passionate about passing on this same wholehearted and joyful lifestyle of worship to the next generation of Grace. In her spare time, Rebecca loves goofing off with her big family on both sides. She is the oldest of six. Getting lost in a good book or a BBC show, like a cooking show or what? Any BBC show. She likes the accent. Or enjoying nature with friends. Although she has deep roots in the valley, Rebecca loves to travel internationally and has seen more of other countries than her own. That's an interesting fact. Rebecca is also a trained florist, a former family mediator, and has a bachelor's of arts in history from JMU. She thinks working with children is awesome and is humbled to be entrusted with such an important and precious group of people. Rebecca, we honor you for how you treat our children with the deepest of respect. And she is, thank you, that she is the maker of Squishy, which we showed. If you didn't notice, I mean. Okay, Rebecca, whatever you'd like to add at this point.
Well, Sarah said very well many of my own feelings, but I just want to say I met Jesus right there as a child. Like, he walked up to me and changed me forever. And so I'm doing this for him.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if anybody else could get me to do this but him, honestly. It's a joy to serve you all. It really is. But it's also a big responsibility. And neither of us take this lightly, you know? And so I just want to add to what Sarah said. Thank you for your graciousness to me as I've grown up with you. Thank you to all my mentors and friends and family, pastors, all of you who have poured into me throughout the years. And I just am so honored and privileged to be able to pour those things back out to you. And I also want to be a blessing to you and to see more children encounter Jesus for themselves and to be standing up here in 10 years, 20 years, or going out into the marketplace and changing the world. So this is for you, Jesus, and we love you all, and we're so honored. And one last thing, thank you, Catherine, for all the ways you've poured into us all these years and shown us what a powerful and gracious woman pastor looks like.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Classy. Y'all are classy. At this point, I'd like to invite Tom Watson, one of our elders, to share something that defines the characteristics of godly, biblically sound ministry. We read this at every ordination, but it's something all of us can really aspire to.
Thank you. So, Sarah and Rebecca, here we are. Long journey, but one that is just perfect in terms of timing. Mm-hmm. And Chuck Swindoll, who has been called the Prince of Pastors, had some very key things to say about leadership in the church. And I'd like to just share that with you as part of the charge to you all. Mm. Here's what he had to say. He said, the foundation of ministry is character, not professional skill. The nature of ministry is service, not being served. The motive for ministry is love, not power. The measure of ministry is sacrifice, not success. The authority of ministry is submission, not pulling rank. The purpose of ministry is to glorify God, not to glorify ourselves. The tools of ministry are prayer and the scriptures, not a marketing handbook. The power of ministry is the Holy Spirit, not programs. And the model for ministry is Jesus Christ, not a corporation or a person. Now, we have seen these characteristics in you all for a long time. And we are thrilled to be able to be here this morning and just say to you all, to the congregation, that we are following as best we know how the direction of the Holy Spirit and believe that His hand is upon you all to do the things that He has called you to do at this season of your life. We are blessed and honored, and we are grateful for this period of time. Amen.
I've asked Bert McTeer, one of our elders and pastors, to present the questions of ordination to Rebecca and Sarah.
So yes, I get to ask you guys some questions formally. But before I ask these questions, I just want everyone to know that they've already answered these questions in some form or fashion, in word, in deed, every day they serve this church. Right. So Sarah and Rebecca, do you believe in your heart that you are called by the Holy Spirit in accordance with the will of our Lord Jesus Christ to be ordained as pastors to serve in this church? Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord and acknowledge Him head over all things to the church, which is His body and the hope of the world? Do you accept the Holy Scriptures as the Word of God and the final standard of our faith and practice? Do you promise to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of your personal walk with our Lord, knowing that whatever you have to give first comes from a close relationship to Him? Do you promise to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all your duties as a pastor, keeping the peace and purity of this congregation at the forefront of your ministry. That's awesome. Yeah. And I have a couple of questions for Nathan and John. So, yeah. All right. I was going to say who goes with who, but you probably figured that out by now. All right. Nathan and John, do you believe in your heart that God has called your spouses into this role at Grace Covenant Church, and are you committed to supporting them in this?
I do.
Do you believe you also are called to serve God and this congregation in your own unique areas of gifting, and do you promise to serve this church, living as an example to this congregation?
I do.
Amen.
Very good. Okay, so now a question for all of you. Will you, as the congregation of Grace Covenant, honor and support Rebecca and Sarah as pastors, serving them in your ministries and their ministries, serving their families with your prayers and participation in the life of this church body? Very good. Okay. Will you please stand as an expression of your support? And we're going to have a time of prayer. If you guys can step forward. And then we need Eunice and Matthew up here to pray. There you go. You stand behind them. We can all kind of gather around. Everybody can gather around. So first, Matthew is going to pray. Matthew is one of the elders here. He's this giant tall person here. And then Eunice Barwell Lam Yuen is one of the directors in our church network. So go ahead.
Lord, thank you,
Lord,
for this day and for everything that you've done up until right now. It says in Acts that you are actually not far from any of us, and in you we live and move and have our being.
That's right.
So, Lord, we thank you for every provision and every grace and every intentional act on your part up until this moment throughout both of these women's lives that prepared them for today and that prepares them for every future moment of ministry. And Lord, it's with the faith built from that grace that we anticipate amazing things through these women.
Bless them, God. Pour out your grace.
And as a group, we collectively agree with what you want to do through Sarah and Rebecca.
Bless them, Jesus.
And we bless them to receive further provision, further grace, further anointing, and further blessing. In your name.
Thanks, Matthew.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. As we stand here in the presence of family and witnesses that have seen their growth, Lord, from childhood even to this point of serving you, God, we are so grateful for your kindness and your love for them, that you've developed them into this handmaidens to serve you all the days of their lives.
That's right.
And today, even as we lay our hands upon them, we ask that you would anoint them,
Amen.
Consecrate them,
Amen.
Allow them the grace to serve you
Amen.
With love and joy and peace.
Yeah.
Lord, we ask that you would protect their hearts and relationships with their spouses and their family. Today, God, as a congregation, we say yes.
Yes.
We say yes to the calling upon your lives. We say yes to the anointing. We say yes to your leadership. We say yes. Yes, to the things that God will still do in and through you as you follow him. So today, as your congregation family, as your friends and family, as those that come and support you, we say be blessed.
Amen.
Be blessed in your going in and your going out, that everything that your hand touches would be anointed. May your lips be anointed with the words of wisdom from Jesus and the Holy Spirit guiding you in all areas of ministry. And today, God, we ask that you would just anoint them from above. God, we can lay hands on them, but it's you who comes and brings favor and anointing upon them. It's an honor, God, to witness what you have started. You will be faithful to complete. And so we ask even now, God, the completion of the season and into the new season. No intimidation, no fear, and boldness in the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's give them a big round of welcome. Yeah, go ahead, give them to both of them. Okay, we now the formal words here. We solemnly ordain you, Rebecca Marafino and Sarah Blackwell, as pastors of Grace Covenant Church, in the name of the Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I now pronounce and declare that Sarah and Rebecca have been formally ordained as pastors of Grace Covenant Church, commissioned to serve with humility and diligence, and are therefore entitled to all the support, encouragement, honor in the Lord, in the name of the Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Pastor Dick and I are going to sing a duet now. We've been... What? Is that... We could, couldn't we, Dick? All right. You would hate it. So... this is Pastor Dick Blackwell, founding pastor of our church and one of the most fruitful and kind men I've ever known. So would you give him a big round of applause since we're all going to... I'm just going to give a couple sort of housekeeping things, and then Dick is going to close the service. So, you know, we talked about purpose and calling and the power for ministry and vision. Could we have the ministry team come forward? I would like for us to pray for anybody who has any sense of, I don't know, maybe there's something in your life where you feel stuck, like you're not able to step into the calling you believe God might have for you, or you don't feel the grace of the Lord to live the way He's invited you to live. So for any reason, if any of you would like prayer of any kind, our ministry team would love to pray for you. If you're new or you're newer here, please meet us in the back corner and we'll give you a welcome bag. On September 8th, we had a big vision night and we presented all kinds of gear with our new, you know, thing on it, Life to the Full, t-shirts and everything. And we have enough for anybody who hasn't yet gotten one. So please join us in the back for t-shirts, water bottles, anything with Grace on it. We call it gear because you can use it to actually start conversations with people. It's not just merchandise. And finally, please give Sarah and Rebecca your blessing as you greet them on the way out this morning. And with all of that, please give Pastor Dick your time for anything you'd like to tell us or pray.
Well, I'm so glad that we have women pastors in our church now. And we consider that they were grown here. Mm-hmm. Catherine, before she was born, came to this church. Same with Rebecca. Sarah's a newcomer. She was only 8 when she came here. But women that grew up in our church and demonstrated unique gifts. And we have come to the place of recognizing those gifts and setting them apart to serve in that particular way. It's such a great blessing God has given to our church, and we rejoice.
Amen.
As we go today, may the love of God the Father cause us to deeply know we're precious to Him. And the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ keep us close to Him. And the power of the Holy Spirit enable us to walk in victory and to follow Him with a whole heart. Lord, grant this to us as we leave. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. You're dismissed.